Maddie, welcome back to Talking Family, Talking Life with Mike and Sarah. We're excited to be here with you again this week and talking about a topic that is really close to our hearts this week. The title is, We Are Losing Our Kids, Rise Up and Fight. I think we all know that we're living in lukewarm, comfort Christianity days. Where we want everybody to be happy. We want everybody to be comfortable. We want to be comfortable ourselves. And not only do we want ourselves to be comfortable, but we want our kids to be comfortable, right? And we're trying to protect them from getting hurt, protect them from getting upset. If, you know, we don't want anyone to lose a game that they're playing. Everybody has to win a trophy. And we see that kind of leaking into our spiritual lives as well, where we're almost afraid of our children experiencing chastisement from God because of the sin in their own lives. And instead of protecting them, what we really need to be doing is teaching them how to respond. I feel like even putting the fault on my own self, I follow my children around trying to pad them and cushion them and not wanting them to get in trouble. And that doesn't mean we don't try to protect our children and help them to learn to avoid sin. But even when consequences come from the choices that they make, we're so afraid of our spouse or God helping to chisel away at the sin in their life or to mold them like clay into who Christ wants them to be or to not have to go through the fire, so to speak, like we have. But that's all part of becoming more like Christ. And the Lord gave me a couple of verses this week as Mike and I were talking about topics. One of them was 1 Peter 5:8, and it says, the enemy of our souls is on the prowl, ever looking for someone to devour. And we would be foolish to think that Satan is not coming after our families, not coming after our marriages, not coming after our children. But the good news, I read this yesterday in Nehemiah. It's Nehemiah 4:14, and it says, don't be afraid of the enemy. Remember the Lord, who is great and glorious, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Fight for your homes.
You know, with that idea and that thought of, rising up and fighting, before we can stand, before we can rise, and before we start fighting, we have to do something that's, I guess you can say, opposite from standing, and that's kneeling down and praying. So before we fight, before we rise and fight, we must kneel. We must pray. We must cry out. We must plead for God's guidance and help and protection over our family. You know, for our family this week, it's been a rough week. I would say, you know, on this past Sunday night, we were dealing with an issue within our family that we were up till, I would say, 3:30 in the morning. And it's just for myself and for Sarah, it's just been, I would say, a very mentally, very emotionally draining week. And not just for concern over our own children and our own home, but for our youth group in its entirety with the teenagers that we serve at our church here in Indiana. And the reason that my wife and I don't plan things out weeks ahead of time as far as this podcast, because we want to be open to be able to talk about any topic that God lays on our heart at any given moment. And I can tell you this, back to that thing I just said about before we rise up and fight, we need to kneel. I hope and I hope and I hope and I pray that for every parent that's listening to this or grandparent that's listening to this, that we are consistently, constantly, powerfully praying to God for our family. We're going to get really practical, very transparent here in just a moment. And I mean, some of this stuff might, I don't know if it will be offensive or not, but I think I've just I've always been burdened for our kids and burdened for our teenagers. And that passion, that burden, has just continues to grow as the older as I get. I know, I think my wife would say the same thing. Mm-hmm. But let me ask you, you know, here's a question that I want for every parent to ask themselves, whoever's listening to this. And if there's ever a podcast I want to be shared, it would be this one. And there's a decent chance that this podcast may be broken up into two parts. But do you really know what your kids are doing? To really know what our kids are doing, we have to invade their privacy. I remember
privacy.
What did I say?
I said privacy. No such thing as privacy, right? Not okay. In our house.
I remember with the sitcoms in the 80s and 90s growing up, I remember a lot of those family sitcoms with Full House, and I'm going really old school, Growing Pains.
It's not that old.
Huh?
It's not that old.
Yeah, it's old. Family Matters, all those things. Man, I remember when parents and kids fought a lot, it centered around when parents would invade the kids' privacy. And I know, and on those shows, it would always make the parents out to be the bad people when they invaded their kids' privacy. I'm going to go totally opposite what they taught back then or preached on those sitcoms. Invade their privacy. You know, we're going to talk about social media in the digital world, phones and all that stuff here in a few moments. But we have phone checks in our home. And you want to see the ugly truth on what our kids or what your kids might be involved in, get on. I mean, and you're going to have to get into personal affairs and be invasive. Not along those same lines, we need to find out, you know, when it comes to invading their privacy or finding out what's really going on in our kids' lives, we need to find out who is influencing our kids. And at the same time, we also need to focus on how our kids are influencing other kids as well. We always say this, you know, we teach this as pastors a lot too. Well, who are your kids hanging out with? Who are your kids hanging out with? Who are your kids hanging out with? Well, at the same time as we're asking that question, how are our kids influencing other people as well? Because we put so much energy into making sure our kids get the best. We want them to have the best experience when it comes to sports. We want them to have the best clothes. We want to make sure if they're into video games, we want them to have all the current video game systems, the best video games. We want to make sure they have the best phones and have everything that we think they need to be cool and accepted in their school or in their church youth group. But the thing that we should be most concerned about is more likely the thing that we work at the least, and that's concentrating on their spiritual health. We put so much focus and so much concentration on meaningless things, so many things that have no eternal value whatsoever, that we're missing out on the most important item, which is their spiritual health. And Satan feasts on our kids. And as Sarah just read a few moments ago from the passage there in First Peter. I mean, it's an age-old passage that we've heard for decades. We've gone to church for decades about how Satan is a roaring lion. He's roaring about seeking whom he may devour. And he wants our kids, and that ticks me off, and hopefully that ticks you off as well. But before we get into the main question that we're going to answer, I have this one other thing written down, and it kind of goes back, and I'm kind of back, and I am backtracking here. The whole idea about who's influencing our kids and our kids being a positive influence to other people as well, to other teenagers as well, or other kids. I heard somebody told me this several weeks ago when I was at their house, and their kid goes to a public school, and they said this to their child, and it stuck with me because I thought it was really good. And my views and thoughts are along the same line. And our kids go to a Christian school, but they told their child this, he was going to a public school. They said they really don't really even care about their grades, all right? And I know that turns off some people already, but I'd be in the same boat. I want our kids to do well in school, but there's something else that matters most to me, and it's what this parent told this child. They said they weren't overly concerned about the grades, but their main purpose of being in that public school was to bring honor and glory to Christ. And if they were not doing that, they would pull them out. And I think that's my wife and I's philosophy too as well, even with our kids going to a Christian school. If we find out they're wreaking havoc and they're not bringing honor and glory to Christ, I'd pull them out of a Christian school without hesitation, because I want our kids to be an influence, a positive influence, a godly influence to other people. And our own, not only do we as parents need to rise up and fight for our kids, but our kids need to rise up and fight and do that which is right as well. So the main question that we want to ask with this whole topic today about we are losing our kids, so rise up and fight. Here's the one question that we're going to focus on probably this week and next week is this right here. The question is simple. What is killing our kids?
I know we'll talk about a lot of different things today, a lot of different opinions, but definitely at the top of my list, and I have fallen short here as well, would be parents who are not parenting. We have become at times so disengaged about what is going on with our kids and paying attention to what's going on in their life. You know, this is an age-old problem. Parents wanting to be best friends with their kids. But I think really that we get so consumed with the stuff, with work, with ministries at church, having our own time, our own me time, our own downtime. And that looks different for different people. Maybe it's grabbing a book at the end of the night. Maybe it's watching TV. A lot of us spend way too much time on our own electronics, and we're so distant from what's really going on in our kids' life, and we're just not parenting like we should.
In our church a few weeks ago, I preached this message on, I think it was entitled, Being Consistently Inconsistent. And I said this in front of a bunch of parents, and I'm surprised I still have friends since that message. But I looked at parents, I looked at adults, and I said one of the biggest hindrances of our kids growing spiritually, I believe with all of my heart, is we as parents. We show so many Christian parents today. Show our kids spiritually inconsistent lives that they follow in their parents' footsteps, and as they get older, they will more than likely, by far most of them, will equally do what their parents have done spiritually growing up, and in a lot of cases, I believe, will even do it worse as far as their spiritual, life. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, as parents, and this sounds harsh, but it's just like we're clueless and we have no idea what to do when it comes to parenting. We're afraid to use good biblical truths that God has given us to teach our children the most important values that they need in life. It amazes me. I mean, it shocks me how I watch parents, and I touched on it earlier, how they put so much focus and attention on so many things that have no eternal value whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, our kids are involved in a lot of things that don't, minus Sarah kids, you know, they're involved in so many things that in the whole scheme of things doesn't bring any eternal value whatsoever. Now, they can use a lot of those things and make a spiritual difference in people's lives. But even as parents, when we put our kids into so many different things, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's what extracurricular school activity it might be. I think that one of the proper ways to parents, when we put our kids into any extracurricular school activity, sports, whether they're going to a job, whatever it might be, we need to train and encourage our kids to go there. It's like that parent told that one child, you have one purpose as you're playing that sport, as you're going to that job, as you're going to church, is to bring honor and glory to Christ. They're not going to learn that. They're not going to do that, I believe, like they could, unless we as parents rise up and say, hey, go do the right thing. And they're not going to do, it's highly, highly unlikely that they're going to do the right thing if we as parents are not doing the right thing and showing them the positive way to live. You know, Sarah said this is, you know, as well, some of this stuff is, I guess you could say, old-fashioned, what we're saying. But, you know, to be quite honest, I think we need some little old-fashioned. If old-fashioned means following the truth of God's word, if it means following God and parenting from a biblical standpoint, then let us be old-fashioned. I mean, my heart breaks to watch families just totally messing up their children because fathers and mothers cannot step up and be the example that they need to be. It takes boldness, it takes courage to step up and be the biblical father and mother that God intended us to be. To, unfortunately, even in the church today, to stand up and be a biblical father and mother probably means, wherever church you go to, probably means that you're going to be the minority. Mm-hmm. If we're going to be the minority, if that's the case, then so be it. Who cares? I mean, who cares what the people and if the other people in our small group or the other people that we go to church with, who cares that they think, well, that, I mean, they're a little too conservative from my standpoint. It doesn't matter. What matters is with our children is that they are being taught and shown biblical sound doctrine, biblical sound principles on how to live, and they get that from parents who are parenting the way that God would have them too. You guys, I could spend so much time on that. And I just challenge for all parents when it comes to that part right there to take a look in the mirror, to step back and ask ourselves, are we hindering our children from getting where do they need to be spiritually? Again, the question that we're bringing up, that we're trying to answer, and I can almost guarantee you that this is going to be a two-parter, but the question we're answering is, what is killing our kids? First thing we talked about is, you know, parents who aren't parenting. The second thing, that one thing that's killing our kids, and I'm going to throw Sarah a curveball. Are you ready? I'm going to have you go next on this one. Are you ready or not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Is what is killing our kids is relationships, friendships, and negative influences. And I'll jump in.
We often use the passage of Scripture, not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. When we're talking about marriage, but it's true for relationships and for friendships as well, that, you know, the visual example of two oxen being yoked together, to accomplish one job together, is true for friendships, for dating relationships, for marriages, and, Christ's desire is for our closest relationships to be those that follow him, Christ followers, Christians. And so our first goal for our closest friends, our children's closest friends, is that they be, I like, you know, you can use the word Christian, but I like the definition of a follower of Jesus Christ, that those are the people that you want to see yoked together with yourself in relationships and with your children as well. And it's not always good enough to just slap a label and say, oh, they're a Christian, so they're going to be a great influence on my child. That's just not true. And the same for our own children at seasons in their life as well. Sometimes our children aren't good for other kids as well, to be yoked together. And that's so difficult as parents sometimes. Sometimes it's real easy to step in and say, absolutely not. You're not going to have a friendship, or you're not going to have a dating relationship with them, or whatever it's going to be. But sometimes it's really hard, especially if you go to church with them or they're friends of your family. But we have to do that as parents. We have to be willing to step in and do the hard stuff and to mediate relationships, and to teach our children to have godly relationships, and to talk about our own relationships and friendships and what qualifies for us personally a good relationship with someone, so that they can learn from that as well.
This whole topic of friendships and relationships, it is so tricky, because right now, and I hate saying this, but with, I look at our youth, I'll just be honest, I'll look at our current youth group, and we're recording this on a Thursday, so I have youth group here in a few hours, and I'm on fire about a lot of things right now. It's been a long week, guys. And I see a lot of groups in our, you know, how every youth group, they all have their, now no pun intended, has their different cliques and groups, different little groups and things of that nature, but I just see so many groups within our youth group where everybody in these little cliques and everybody in these little groups, they are all, every single one of them in some of these groups, are toxic for each other. Mm-hmm. And as a youth pastor, I'll step back and look and I'll think, my gosh, there's not one positive influence anywhere in some of these different groups. And what I'm dying to see in these relationships and these friendships, it's just for one person,
yes,
in these, just one person in this group to say, enough is enough.
Yeah, that's it.
We're going to stop the
sin.
Junk, thank you. I remember this is going on.
Yes.
This is a church podcast, all right? We're going to stop the junk, stop the sin. We're going to stop the gossip. We're going to stop the language. We're going to stop the tearing down of people. We need one person in all these groups to stand up and say, enough is enough. We're going to do the right thing. And again, we're focusing on parents rising up and fighting. Well, we need to encourage our kids to rise up and fight as well. And how one big way that Satan's going to kill our kids spiritually is that he's going to do it through these relationships, these friendships, and these influences. And can I tell you the best way, one of the best ways that these kids, our kids' friendships and relationships and influences can be godly? It goes back to us as parents again. It goes to us as grandparents. We have got to get in our kids' lives more than we could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. We almost, so many parents say, do distant parenting. What I mean by distant parenting is we'll feed them. We'll clothe them. We make sure they take a bath or a shower. We'll send them to school and we'll say, good luck. And get out there and just whatever, do whatever you want to do. For me personally, I know I'm not, again, I know everybody has their own different way of parenting. And so I believe our kid, again, this is a whole topic for another time. I believe kids need their freedom in certain areas and so forth. But we still, as a mother and or father, have a biblical responsibility to train our children and to teach them truth. I believe I take it personally to make sure that I protect my children as best as I can from the enemy. And on a side note, we need, as Christians, we need to steal a quote from The Hunger Games, one of my favorite movies.
Not mine.
We need to remember who the real enemy is. And yeah, the real enemy is Satan. That's right. And he will destroy our children by getting our children involved in godless, toxic relationships, mm-hmm, and friendships. And we as parents need to get enough guts and enough boldness and enough courage where if we need to say, hey, this friendship's ending or this relationship's ending, we're going to step up and do it. And kind of, yeah. So, okay, I can't say it. Sarah's giving me a look not to say the next part, so I'm not going to say it then. All right. Anyone add anything else on that one?
Okay. I'm good.
Again, I could keep going on that too as well. Because I think I'm going to divide this up into two parts, but I do want to address one more answer to this question. What is killing our children? Again, I believe parents who aren't parenting. Number two, relationships, friendships, and negative influences. Unhealthy relationships, unhealthy friendships, negative influence would be a better way of saying what's killing our children. And then you can't answer this question in 2018 and not address the digital world and social media.
This is a long one. Do you want to save this one for next week?
That's
going to take a long time.
Well, let's do part now. We'll do a little bit of both.
Yeah.
I don't want to not do it now. I
say long because it is such a huge part of every facet of our lives now. Adults, teens, mm-hmm. kids, little kids on the tablets and on the phones.
Let's just say, well, I had this week, I had one of my children's cell phone in one hand, and I literally had a hammer in the other hand.
This is a true story.
And the only reason it did not get smashed, the only reason is because of my tag team partner here, my wifey, who stopped me because she would have let me use it if we didn't need it for emergencies. If right. it wasn't for emergencies.
We don't have a house phone.
Right, we don't have a house phone. The only reason it's not smashed at this moment is because of that instance. But I think my wife and I, we have learned already at, you know, we've been doing this parenting thing for a while, but we've now entered the world of having three teenagers. We've already entered the world of where, my gosh, what were we thinking?
Mm-hmm. It's so true. And in the beginning, and this kind of goes back to the parenting situation, we had such strict boundaries, but you get busy and you lax up, you get lazy. So it's so, so important to have rules and standards and precautions. And
well, you know, again, I don't know if we're going to get into if you've taken classes, my wife and I, we are very hesitant, and I cannot recall us ever getting, this is what you should do in your home as far as guidelines. Mm-hmm. We have never done that because that's a case by case, family by family situation when it comes to how you handle social media, the digital world, phones, and all that stuff. I think we can all start off agreeing with this. If we're not careful as families, when it comes to our children's and our own, I keep concentrating on children, but for our children, if we're not careful, when it comes to monitoring what our kids are doing on Instagram.
Mike doesn't do Instagram.
I know.
I do Instagram.
Yeah. Instagram, text messaging, YouTube history, that God forbidden app called Snapchat.
Don't do Snapchat.
I
just don't even bother with it.
Absolutely.
That's got to be in the Bible somewhere.
I monumentally hate Snapchat. I don't, and I'll just say this, and hopefully this will get
it. You can't trace it.
Hopefully,
you guys need to know what apps your kids are using.
Hopefully this will get us emails from people who describe. I like emails. Keep sending emails if you haven't done it. But it blows my mind. It honestly blows my mind for parents who do not want to know what their kids are doing.
That's shocking.
On social media.
That's shocking.
I mean, how often you check it, I don't know. I don't know. I my strategy, and I don't care if my kids, they won't, but I don't have a certain set time I check their phones and so forth.
Tablets. Well, yeah. Used to have a phone.
Yeah. Our kid used to have a phone, no more. I don't want them to know when we're checking. Mm-mm. I want them to almost forget that we do check them. And sometimes, guys, you know, when we see, I mean, I see what our kids put out there, just in our own youth group, what they put out there on Snapchat, if I can catch it in time, Instagram, I'm thinking, are parents checking? If they are, then why are we allowing what we're allowing? Mm-hmm. It goes back to what I just said, point number one. We're killing our kids when we allow them to get away with, okay, I can't help it, with the crap that we let them get away with. She just gave me a look.
Your mother-in-law's going to call me now.
I'm not scared of her. Right. But the thing could be said of myself and Sarah. I'll look at things that one of my children put on social media and stuff, and I found I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to stop the family podcast immediately because I have no clue what I'm doing. But for us to, and again, this whole social media, because I don't want to go much further than we've done already. When it comes to the social media talk, we're going to get more into practical step-by-step things where I believe we can help conquer the social media aspect and how we can hopefully help get a better, not conquer it, but hopefully get a better handle on it. We're going to get more step-by-step practical advice next week. I think the main point I think that Sarah and I would like to get across today is this, all right? If you don't do anything else, do this. As soon as you're done listening to this podcast, all right? If you have a teenager that has a social media account or has a cell phone, go check it. And I mean this. It could spiritually save their lives mm-hmm. if we nip some things in the bud right now. Mm-hmm. And there's such a thing where you can wait too long. And by God's grace, by God's mercy, we've been able to nip some things in the bud in our own children's lives over the last couple of years. And again, I look at the things that we've done. Let me tell you, can I tell you the one major mistake that we've done? You want to tell them the one major? I'll let you do it because I blame you more.
Well, I don't know if you're thinking of the same thing I am.
Which one?
Is it the note that I just wrote down on my paper to make sure we shared it next week at the bottom?
Well, I was thinking that spiritual. No, you can use that. There was the one practical thing that we have done wrong when it comes to social media, when it comes to phone. What was the dumbest thing we've done up to this point?
Let them have their tablets or anything in their room?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it kind of slid in because we had a rule against it, but they like to use their tablets to do their Bible reading at night.
Right.
But then it kind of slid past and we kind of let it go. They get on YouTube and watch things and check your YouTube history. And we kind of let that slide and... Yeah.
If you want to assist in your child's spiritual suicide, I will stand by this. I will stand by it. I will stand by it. If you want to assist in your child's spiritual suicide, continue to let your children have their tablets and their phones in their rooms with the doors closed. All right, mm-hmm. Go ahead. Assist in that.
It used to be the TV, right? Everybody was like, yeah. Don't have a TV in the room.
Right, and our kids
TV
don't.
Is nothing compared to what they can access online. So
yep. If you want to assist in spiritual suicide with your children, let them do that. You think, my kid wouldn't. Oh, my goodness. Not wise thinking. Mm-hmm. So,
we've got some good stuff to talk about next week.
Yeah, we do.
We can save the others, unless you want me to.
Why don't you list those things real quick? How long will it take you, think?
You want me to go
Excuse quick. Us as we have this discussion.
He wants me to talk quickly.
I've equally shared this talking time.
I know you have. You've done a good job. What Mike's referring to is...
It's your two pages worth of notes right here.
My 2 pages worth of notes. Yeah, let's save that.
Why don't you just listen? We'll go in detail with them more next week.
Okay. So I read a article. I'll get the name of the person because it's a great... For those of you that like to have something physical in your hands... this lady has some prayer cards available, and I can't remember the name of the author that I was reading it from. I'll bring that to you, but she lists 5 war room prayers to pray over your child, and I'll list them, and we'll talk more about them next week, but the first one is that they would have conviction of their sin. Number 2, that they would be free from the need of everyone else's approval. And that is so, so difficult in the digital social media age that we live in. Number 3, that they would experience God as their rewarder. I'll explain next week what that means exactly. Number 4, that they will develop a love for God's word and a relationship with him. And then number 5, that they will learn to submit to God.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. You know, every time I say all right, guys, Sarah calls me out on that. because I have to tell that every.
You always say, "Hey guys,"
that's
and
my
you close up by. All right, guys.
That's my signature closing and opening statement. Back off. All right. Talking family at Mike and Sarah. At Mike and Sarah. Oh my gosh, I've turned into you.
Talking family at mikeandsarahclick.com.
That's what I was getting to. All right, email us. And by the way, we did have a winner for our $50 gift card.
Yeah, we did.
If you didn't get email, that means you lost. But Jillian.
And we are working on emailing everyone back.
I've emailed everybody. Sarah hasn't done her email yet.
Yeah, that means that I haven't done mine yet.
Right.
Sorry, Sean.
But Jillian Drake won the $50 gift card.
Yay, Jillian. Good job.
As of this podcast, you still don't have it. I have to go buy it. But I know where your husband works, which would be the office right next to him. All right. So congratulations, Jillian.
Guys, you know that yet?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
So again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you, and we'll not see you. We'll talk to you next week. Share our podcast, like it, follow, subscribe, and you guys have a good week.